The first presentation is by Pammy Crawford, and Pammy is a PhD student from Johns Hopkins University, and her interest is in international health, and she'll be talking about challenges of providing intimate partner violence services to immigrants, the case of indigenous Osakans. Pammy, shoot. Not with a gun, though.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. As he said, my name is Pammy Crawford, and I'm going to be speaking on the challenges of providing intimate partner violence or IPV services to immigrants, looking specifically at the case of Indigenous Oaxacans. So to begin, I'd like to note that I have no relationships to disclose regarding personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation during the past 12 months. So to begin with a little bit of a background, Watsonville is a town in Central California, and it recently experienced an influx of immigrants from Oaxaca, one of Mexico's poorest states. And here is Oaxaca down in the south of Mexico. So Watsonville is an agricultural area where many crops are grown, and because of this, many immigrants come to the area looking for agricultural employment and due to connections that they have to other residents in the area. So IPV among indigenous Oaxacans is common because it's culturally accepted. Traditionally, husbands are seen as masters, and underage females are often sold into marriage, usually to much older men. And we have one example of a 13-year-old girl who was sold for a few cases of beer. So using in-depth interviews with specialists and community advocates' experience with IPV and social service provision in the community, we elicited barriers and challenges in reaching Oaxacans with services. So our results showed first, language was a major barrier. Many indigenous Oaxaqueños speak Mixteco, Zapoteco, or Chiqui, and few providers are familiar with these languages, and most service provision is in English or Spanish. Also, illiteracy is prevalent, so accessing this community with written materials is not useful. There were also barriers of social isolation. Now, this is a unique community in that they're very social within their own group, but they have very limited interactions with others. Also, they have a strong sense of solidarity. They're clannish and stick together for protection. And an example would be when people go to look for work, maybe four or five of them will go together. If they're hired, they'll work together. And if one of them gets laid off or one of them has a problem with a supervisor, they'll all quit. There's also a sense of resentment amongst some other immigrants from Mexico. For example, immigrants from the state of Michoacan have been coming to the area for a long time, and they may see Oaxaqueños as taking their jobs, especially if they're willing to work for less. So status and culture are also barriers experienced. Many of them are here illegally, so they're cautious and they won't report an IPV incident. Also, in their culture, it's really important to uphold traditions, and this may contribute to IPV. An example was a 13-year-old bride who broke with tradition by reporting an incident with her husband, and she was ostracized by the community. Also, the practice of witchcraft is common, and this is actually a real concern for some people that are willing to report it because they're scared that another person in the community, if they find out, they'll put a hex on them. So there were also barriers that we found from the service provider perspective, and the service providers noted that it's very difficult to access the community for the reasons that I've noted, being language, illiteracy, and their social cohesion. Also, they have a very limited knowledge of Oaxacan culture and the cultural nuances, and the typical IPV model utilized may not be appropriate for this community. So, when moving forward, next steps would be first to try to connect with the community. This is like basic cultural competency, finding out where they are, who they see and trust, and this would help identify the leaders in the community and the gatekeepers. And identifying the gatekeepers is important because you can develop relationship with them. And gatekeepers are those already accessing social services and serving as community translators. So educating gatekeepers about IPV, working with them as partners, and trusting their knowledge to guide the process and develop a plan would be really important. Also, outreach is important. Specialized outreach efforts will probably be required because traditional strategies may fail. So developing relationships in the community so they trust service providers, and then again, working with the gatekeepers and other organizations providing social services to be able to conduct specialized and targeted outreach. And appropriate resource development is also crucial. So the information and education that's provided in Spanish languages, you can't just use the Spanish language model and do a literal translation into the indigenous languages. Also, education of staff and community is crucial. So the staff needs to be educated on the cultural issues of Oaxacans so they're better able and prepared to help them. And also collaborating with others in the community. There's other social services this community will need, the Oaxacan community will need. So working with other, you know, CBOs and other organizations providing social services to learn what each organization knows and share information is important. And lastly, IPV survivors are going to need more than just long-term, they're going to need long-term support. They need more than just a safe place to stay for 30 days. So they need a support system so their children and them are not isolated entirely from their community. And they'll also need financial assistance. And lastly, it's important to learn from experience. In Watsonville, they had a shelter created specifically for Latinas, and it was unsuccessful because the Latinas did not want to be segregated. They already felt like the stigma of being an IPV survivor was hard enough. They wanted to be integrated with the rest of the community. So in summary, IPV is a serious public health problem, and immigrant communities experience more barriers to care. But we can overcome the barriers by working with the community through the gatekeepers, creating trust, educating providers, and recognizing that the uniqueness of the group requires a unique approach, respectful of the cultural and linguistic differences of this community. Thank you.
Okay. Usually we finish all the presentations before we ask people to ask questions, but then she has to leave for another presentation. There's a class. So let's take the next 3 minutes, and if I have anybody who wants to question, please.
Yeah.
I've identified the community leaders or gatekeepers. Is it through sort of social networks or religion?
Well, basically the gatekeepers are those that will serve as translators for the community. So they'll be the ones seeking services. They'll be the ones that are most prominently available. So that's usually how you would identify them. Yes?
I have a question and a comment. Comment first, I'm the researcher for the National Immigrant Family Violence Institute. We have a lot of online resources at NIFBI.org.
Okay.
The question is, how did you, I guess I missed it, but how did you get this information?
Well, I'm originally from California, and I worked in the Watsonville area before coming out here for my PhD. So I conducted research with people that were service providers in the area.
So your findings come from the service provider?
Yes. Is that it for the question? Okay, thanks. Yes?
Last question.
It was in-depth interviews with some of the staff that were interviewed were actually IPV survivors themselves, Chicano and Latina women, but it was interviews, like qualitative research with them.
What's your sample size?
I'm sorry?
Your sample size?
It was only 5. Sure, I'm not describing violence as a cultural thing, but I was stating in that culture it's more acceptable than, say, maybe another culture.
But why is it culture and not socioeconomic status or other structural barriers? That's what I'm missing, why it has to be culture.
Because the words used in the data were culture, but...
This is coming from the providers.
Correct. No, not from them. I don't speak any of those native languages, so I couldn't interview them. Sure. Anything else? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.